Napa know-how.
There are lots of amazing cars on the road, but perhaps none more amazing than the paid-off car. It may not be pretty, but the price is right. Heck, if you keep that thing running, it'll actually start paying you. Because with Napa Rewards, for every $100 you spend, you'll get $5 off. So keep your car running longer, stronger with Napa Rewards and watch the savings start rolling in. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome to Locked On Eagles, your daily source for the best Philadelphia Eagles news and analysis. I am your host, Michael Kist. You can follow my work at Breaking Football Inside the Pylon, and you can follow me on Twitter at Michael J. Kist. That's K-I-S-T. I'm here with my co-host, as always, the awesome Benjamin Solak of Bleeding Green Nation and NDT Scouting. You can follow him on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. That's S-O-L-A-K. Ben, how you doing, brother?
Apparently I'm awesome. That is the adjective for today. I'm cool with that sticking in the script. That can remain. I'll be all right with that.
Yeah.
Dude, did you see Aaron Rodgers' new mustache?
I did.
That's glorious.
I saw someone put it on like a Huck Finn like cover, like picture kind of deal. It looks hilarious.
There's a picture from SB Nation of him next to that guy for Liberty Insurance, the guy who did the diabetes commercials, right? And they have the exact same stash, and it's wonderful.
That's amazing. He always seems to come out with the mustache every now and then, and it always surprises me. It's so weird.
Hey, no Olivia Munn girlfriend anymore. He can do whatever he wants with his facial hair. He's a free man.
That's right. All right, so today what we're going to do is we are going to continue our 53-man roster projection for the Philadelphia Eagles 2017 season. Yesterday, if you didn't hear it, go back and listen to it because we covered the offensive side of the ball. Today, we are going to be covering the defensive side of the ball. Who's getting cut? Who's making the grade? All that good stuff. Without further ado, man, let's jump right into it. We're going to start with defensive tackle, a strength of this team. So we've got Fletcher Cox, Timmy Jernigan, a new arrival from Baltimore. Thinking also Big Bo makes the team. Destiny Vallejo, is that how you say it? Vallejo? I think Elijah Quails could make the team. What do you think?
So I'm actually very happy that you said a strength of the team. I'm a big fan of that because I've got five tackles making the team, and I'm also going to have six defensive ends making the team. And so that's 11 players starting on the defensive line, which is heavy. That's a lot. If you're looking at this Eagle team and you're asking the question of, okay, where are we going to win, like what's really going to propel us forward if we're gonna have a successful season, you know, looking for the division title, looking for a playoff berth, it's going to come from the defense. I think it's going to come from this line, and I don't, you know, it's not as if we're holding on to guys who, you know, are old veterans who, you know, like they're just like 1 year sort of contracty sort of guys. Like I don't have Justin Hamilton making the team, and Hamilton's bounced around from a couple teams,
right?
You know, a few years in the league. I've got like, you know, young guys like Qualls and Vaio produced last year. You've got Bo Allen, who, you know, seventh round pick, who you've brought through and you've developed over the years. And I've got Elijah Qualls making it as well because I love the selection. I think that they've enjoyed the way he's played as well. He's definitely warranted a roster spot with his preseason performance. I think this is where success is going to come from this team, and I think they recognize that. And I think they're going to make sure their rotation is deep and that they have the guys necessary to really have a dominant front four in this league.
And I would be a lot less comfortable with this rotation after losing Benny Logan if we had not gotten Jernigan. And as I went through some Baltimore games, watching different players and coming across Baltimore, I've always had an eye towards Jernigan and really liked what I saw. I like his first step off the ball. I think he can be disruptive in the backfield, and it's going to help Fletcher Cox on the other side. So do you think Fletcher Cox's needle moves up because of the arrival of Timmy Jernigan?
Absolutely, and I share in your love of Timmy Jernigan. That kid's a beast. He is 10 types of filthy. Jeez. I think with Fletcher Cox, what's going to be really interesting to see is we have this big discussion about quarterback pressures and about sacks and looking at statistics. Like, you know, you've got your people who look at Brandon Graham last season and say, okay, only had 5.5 sacks. You know, does that really amount to anything? Is he really a productive top tier 4-3 end in the league? And then you have, you know, the contrary opinion, which simply says, watch the tape, put on the game film, and you'll see Brandon Graham terrorizing left tackles left and right. Fletcher Cox, there's a similar conversation to be had there in the sense that he came in with these massive expectations for 2016, and he didn't necessarily have as far as the stat sheet goes, a standout season. And so I think you're going to start to see, now that this rotation, I would argue, is clearly deeper at both defensive end and defensive tackle than it was last season. You know, the additions of Chris Long, Timmy Jernigan, the draft picks of Derek Barnett and Elijah Qualls, there's been a lot of attention attention paid to the defensive line here in the offseason, I think you'll start to see that maybe you don't have that one guy with the standout sack numbers, but the disruption that this unit is going to cause, doesn't matter whose number's in the backfield and who's, you know, cleaning up on the sack and who's forcing the fumble and who's recovering it, just in general, the way this unit is going to produce is really going to reflect upon the scheme that Schwartz puts out and the way that, like I said, this unit is incredibly deep and it has players in the first string and the second string, guys who can get on the field and who can perform.
And speaking of the pass rush, we'll get right to the defensive ends and we'll see who's going to make it. Obviously, Barnett is going to make it, our first round pick. Vinnie Curry is going to stay. His contract is awful. Hopefully he shows up this year. That would be amazing. Brandon Graham, who is incentivized to get some extra sacks this year, which I love the way they did that deal. Chris Long will stick. And then I think the battle is, if we don't keep six, and I think you said that we're going to keep six, if they don't keep six, I think we keep Steven Means over Alex McAllister. How do you have it?
Absolutely. I've got them bringing six because they'll bring along both Steven Means and Alex McAllister. And I think you so recently invested in Alex McAllister that, you know, and you stored him on IR last year, that I truly think that they want to see what he can do. You know, they really desperately don't want to cut him. At the same time, there's no way Steven Means has done anything worthy of a cut. You know what I mean?
Right.
And when we talk about this McAllister-Steven Means battle, people say, oh, well, you know, they're going to keep McAllister because he's the recent draft pick and because he's young. It's important to note that McAllister is 23 and Steven Means is 26. There's a three-year difference between these guys. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that that's enough to say, oh, we got to keep McAllister for the future. Steven Means, you've easily got another 4 or 5 years of good production out of Steven Means, going by the general age at which players start to deteriorate. And we see around the league that pass rush specialists, guys who are good at getting to the passer, can play into their mid-30s. And so I don't think it's that big of a concern to say, okay, we have to keep McAllister over Means for the sake of age. I think they keep six. We have six good pass rushers. McAllister has flashed and he is young and he was only on IR last year, so he hasn't had enough practice experience and had enough game experience. So you really don't know if you're only scratching the surface there. I don't think you can expose him to waivers or Steven Means to waivers. I think, especially if you're serious about your pass rush, you have to keep all six of these defensive ends. They are talented football players.
I'm with you on that one. And, you know, Means, I understand the argument that he's 3 years older. He hasn't really contributed as much in special teams as I thought he might. One of the things that I saw for Means when he was coming out from his college tape was his special teams play where he was blowing people up. But he only played, I think, 36, 37 snaps on special teams last year. So that may make it a little bit harder to keep him, depending on what you want to do with the rest of the roster, because that can affect one of those players. I think Means has just been the better player in the preseason. Like you said, hasn't done anything that would warrant us wanting to cut him. So I'm going to go with Steven Means for now, and I'm going to say McAllister might get the axe, and hopefully we try to stash him on the practice squad. So we're going to move right on to the linebackers. Jordan Hicks, obviously a lock. Nigel Bradham, same thing. As for now, Michael Kendricks is on the roster, and if he's on the roster, he's making this team. There's no question about that.
Mm-hmm.
Then you could say Joe Walker is probably a lock, and then Nate Gary suffered an injury in the last game, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, hamstring injury. I don't think it's, or maybe it's a quad. I'll look that up too.
With that being said, how long he may be out, you could see him end up on injured reserve just to stash him. And then I think that Camu Grugier-Hill, am I saying that right? Camu Grugier-Hill?
Grugier-Hill. Yeah, fancy-dancy.
Grugier-Hill. We did go over that once before. It might get the nod over Najee Good. I don't know. I'm going to go with Najee Good for right now, as far as that goes. And it all depends on the health of Nate Jerry. So that one is kind of a toss-up for me. It's tough to project the back end of that. What did you find in your research, and who do you have?
Yeah, so Nate Gary's a hamstring. There's been, you know, light discussion about, oh, is he a possible IR candidate? As of right now, we're only 4 or 5 days into this injury. We've only seen two practices, and he's been called day-to-day by the coaching staff. So the extent to which he's injured and how serious that is, whether or not he ends up on the practice squad, or excuse me, on IR, has yet to be seen. The hope and the prayer is that he can be on the active roster, because I think Nate Gary is a guy who makes the roster for sure. I think his learning curve coming into linebacker may be steep. He played it in his freshman year at Nebraska before transitioning to safety for his final 3 years there with the Huskers. He's an instinctual player. I did a piece on him for Bleeding Green Nation because he was the one player the Eagles drafted at whom I had not taken a look. And so I went back to his tape, and he's such an instinctual player, loves to play downhill, sees it quick, likes to attack it. the mass at linebacker is a question, and the lateral range, the lateral influence is a question. Mm-hmm. But as a guy that you can, as a special teams contributor, I think he's the exact sort of mold you want as far as physical, fast. He loves contact. And then it's really impressive how well he sees and processes it from the linebacker position. I think he's a guy that you want to keep. Now, I can understand not dressing him on game day. Absolutely. That makes a lot of sense to me. And if they try to stash him on the practice squad, okay. I don't think they'll be able to. Then I have Grugier Hill making the roster over Najee Good. The simple reason being, the Eagles for multiple years now have been able to cut Good and then bring him back later in the year if they need to. Yeah. And so they feel comfortable trying that again. I mean, they felt comfortable cutting Good in the past and seeing if they can bring him back later. I think that that's available to them again. And then, so Grugier Hill over Good. I think Joe Walker is locked as your backup, Mike. I think he's doing a great job. Don Cherry played well, but I think Joe Walker is the answer there. I've really been impressed with him in the preseason. And then the three starters in Hicks, Bradham, and Kendricks. Man, Jordan Hicks, if he is not an all-pro this season, barring injury or a setback.
I agree.
I don't know if you remember when the all-pro team came out and he received one all-pro vote, and I forget people who were listed above him, but it was absurd. One of them was like Alec Ogletree from the now Los Angeles Rams, who is a safety who can't anchor against the run or do anything. I was furious, and I went crazy on the timeline. In the event that Jordan Hicks is not all-pro linebacker again, I will fly to, where's Goodell work? New York? I will fly to New York and I'll find somebody and I will yell some things. This is a very vague threat right now, but I need Jordan Hicks to get recognition this year, Mike. It's killing me.
Would that end your 7-year streak of never having a bad day?
I don't know why you keep attacking the streak, my man. Honestly, the ability to go stand for Jordan Hicks in front of the commissioner of the NFL sounds like a great day, my dude.
You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice, and usually it's what team to bet on this week, whether it's Steelers against Patriots or Bears against the Lions. Well, let me tell you this. Where you're betting at is just as important as who you're betting on, and that's why I always tell people to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been in this business for years, and their rep is rock solid. They do 100% cash bonuses, so off the bat, you're making money for doing nothing, and they have the fastest payout. Seriously, it's just 2 business days. Lay down some cash and win big today. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and an all-new mobile site that makes wagering on the go an absolute breeze. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to 100% bonus. Use promo code LOEagles, that's LOEagles, to activate your offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. And as I was prepping for this part with the linebackers, I came across a point that we could cut Najee Good, let him pass through a week, and then his contract would no longer be guaranteed for the entirety of the season, which seems like a Howie Roseman type deal. I'm just going to assume that Nate Gary is healthy and have him make the team and just go with 5 linebackers. And the main reason being, I love chirpers. I don't know about you. I'm a big chirp guy.
Oh, who doesn't love chirpers?
And Nate Gary, you know, the big quarterback prospect coming out in the draft next year, Josh Allen from Wyoming. Mm-hmm. Nate Gary picked him off, and I believe that was his 5th interception that game. And Gary was kind enough to hand the ball back to Mr. Allen in a beautiful moment of class. I got to give it up for Nate Gary, and I want him to make this team. Anybody with that type of it just got swag, man. He's got swag. So I want him to make the team for sure.
No, absolutely. I tweeted out that clip back when Gary was selected, and you know for dang sure I'm about to go find that again and post it because to pick off a guy and then he gets tackled by Allen and then to hand him the ball back and just jog to your sides. Allen chucks it at him. He gets a 15-yard penalty. It's so funny, man.
Yeah. So go to Ben's timeline at Benjamin Solak and check that clip out. It is a beauty. All right, so we're going to move on to cornerback while Ben retweets that. We are going to go Ronald Darby, of course. Hopefully not wearing number 35 by the time this cut rolls around, or shortly after anyway. Jalen Mills makes the team. Rasul Douglas, so that's 3. I'm going to go with Jalen Watkins. I'm going to call him a cornerback, too. Just the versatility that he brings, and Schwartz was very complimentary of him, saying that you haven't really noticed him because he's been doing his job, and I would agree with that. Patrick Robinson has looked more competent working not outside, so I'm going to say that he makes it. And I think there's a question on whether there's Dexter McDougal and who else is a potential there.
I like CJ Smith. I like Smith to make the back end of that roster, yeah. No, it'll be interesting to see because we're only going to get one day of film on McDougal in an Eagles uniform. Mm-hmm. And the extent to which this coaching staff and this front office is invested in McDougal is obviously up in the air. We have no idea. All they did was move Terrence Brooks for him, and we don't really know what that reflects exactly. So I think you'll still see CJ Smith, a guy who's been in the locker room for a couple of years, get the look over McDougal, barring something ridiculous occurring, you know, God forbid an injury or something like that. Yeah, but the cornerback room, looking at as far as I think your starters on the boundary will be Douglas, and I think they're going to give the starting look to Jalen Mills on the opposite side of the boundary.
Yeah.
Schwartz seems to love him. The competitiveness is a lot of fun. You know, if he can be physical to the line of scrimmage, he's a pretty decent man corner in that regard. He's okay in zone, but just the long speed is so concerning on the boundary. You know, like if you're playing single high, if I'm facing the Eagles and they've got McLeod single high and I see Jalen Mills one-on-one with my wide receiver one or my wide receiver two,
taking
I know
a shot.
Immediately where that football's going. Yeah, and it's not a conversation. Yep. So you love Mills' competitive spirit, but I was taking some questions about Mills on the timeline and just I don't see his future at boundary corner. I see it at nickel, and I want to see him get nickel reps, and it hasn't really happened. And you know, it's a tricky situation. Hopefully, you know, in the event that Sidney Jones returns next year and Jones likely surpasses Mills on that boundary job, then they'll start to give Mills more looks inside. But I think you see Mills in 2017 starting opposite Darby. I think Rasul Douglas will be your first man up to be a boundary, you know, replacement in the event that there's an injury or if they're changing sets. And you're right, I think Robinson gets the start there at nickel. He looked good in that Miami game. That was one of our things to watch, and he did a good job in the slot against Landry.
Yeah, I would have it Rasul, you got Darby, Mills, Robinson, Watkins, and then I agree with your point on CJ Smith there, because you really don't know what you have in McDougal, and everything else is just kind of a wash. So we'll move on to safety. I've got it Malcolm Jenkins, McLeod, Corey Graham, and special teams captain, a.k.a. my twin, Chris Maragos, who you have said before might not make this team. How do you feel about that take now?
Yeah, that was pre-Terrence Brooks trade, so I will gladly step back away from that.
Eat the tweet.
When we had five safeties on a four-safety team that could start. Yeah, or excuse me, not start, but just be on the depth chart. No, yeah, Maragos is a lock there for special teams reps and for backup safety. Corey Graham's going to sit there. This is an easy one to predict. And I think they really like having Watkins there as a corner who can probably also get looks at safety, because obviously he was there previously. He wasn't the greatest safety, but you can still get him in there in multiple safety looks or in the event of injury if you need to. And that's kind of what broke Watkins over Ron Brooks for me on my corners, is the fact that Watkins has that back end versatility that I think is very valuable.
So like you said, real easy. You had to eat the tweet in regard to my twin Chris Maragos. It feels so good. Special teams, man. It got changed up a little bit, man. I was reading, let me pull this one up here. I was reading another projection from Bleeding Green Nation. It says long snapper John Dornbos, and then it says Rick Lovato will be one of the easiest cuts the Eagles have to make. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, it was interesting. I was actually, you know, we're thinking about more potential cuts as far as the Eagles go and what other moves Roseman could make moving up to that September 2nd deadline as far as who he trades away. Donnie Jones has been a very good punter in the same way John Dornbos has been a very good long snapper. But as always happens every training camp, there was competition brought in. Cameron Johnston, you know, he was Ohio State punter and he was brought in. And Dornbos snapped exclusively to Donnie Jones over the offseason. And Rick Lovato, current starting long snapper for Philadelphia, snapped exclusively to Cameron Johnston. And so you have to wonder if he's willing to move Dornbos, and now Rick Lovato's the starter, is he willing to move Donnie Jones as well?
Could we see another seventh round trade coming up?
I mean, those seventh round picks, man, especially in 2019, incredibly valuable.
Hey, that's where you get your special teamers, right? Or you try to anyway, so.
Yeah, or that's where you move your special teamers away. It's honestly incredible, though. Like, imagine in one offseason being able to trade a long snapper and a punter for two draft picks. I mean, that's like, it takes a dealer to trade a long snapper, man. Like, That doesn't happen very often.
I told you, man. He's that Howie Roseman is that door-to-door vacuum salesman with the steak knife upsell, just wheeling and dealing, man. And he's just always he's trying to get that coffee, man. His coffee's for closers. That's Howie Roseman's game.
It'll be interesting to see. I mean, we had that. It was right before the deadline last year that Bradford was traded, and so at this point, like, we're making 53-man roster projections with, like, you know, 20 of these players won't even be here come the weekend just because he takes no prisoners. 11th-hour trades for the win, man.
Hey, Joe Hayden is out there on the trade block.
Reportedly. No.
97.5, the Fan tweeted out, would you do the trade for Joe Hayden for a first-round pick? You must have lost your mind if you...
I mean, the Philadelphia Souls first-round pick, maybe. Not the Eagles. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, a 28-year-old on the decline. I can't see giving much of anything for him, and I'd rather just not even deal with it. So hopefully that doesn't happen. Especially for a first round. I would riot. We would shut down the podcast.
There's no way.
So don't worry, we are not shutting down the podcast. We are going to be back tomorrow with a preview of the Philadelphia Eagles versus the New York Jets in their last preseason action. Ben, you have anything else for us today?
Hey, same as it was for the third preseason game. One preseason game down means that we are one game closer to the regular season. This is the last one. The next Philadelphia Eagle football you watch after Eagles Jets will be regular season action. Oh, it just feels good, man. It feels good.
So keep it locked on here on Locked On Eagles as we make our way to the regular season. Fly, Eagles, fly.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.